You're listening to member-supported KAXE, KBXE. I'm excited to say that Brad Meltzer is back with us today. He's the New York Times best-selling author of many books, books for adults as well as kids. He's got two new ones out. One is in his Ordinary People Change the World series, I Am Frida Kahlo, and a standalone picture book that's called A New Day. Brad, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me back.
Well, let's begin with Frida Kahlo. Who was she before she became one of the world's greatest artists?
Yeah, you know, and let's just even talk about that. I mean, she is just, for those who don't know her, she is an artist from Mexico who is a female artist at a time when female artists weren't celebrated at all. And I started this kids book series because I wanted to give my kids better heroes to look up to, heroes of kindness and compassion and perseverance. And Frida Kahlo certainly fits that bill. When she was a little kid, she had a super active imagination, right? One of the things I loved that she did is she would go into her room and she, when it was raining outside, and she would kind of breathe heavy on the window, on the glass, so it would fog up. And then she would draw an imaginary door. And she said that that door would let her enter her imagination. And she would kind of like climb down and imagine these adventures and all these incredible things. And then she'd wipe her hand across the glass and the door would disappear and she'd be back where we are now. And I love the idea of just telling kids what they can unleash with their imagination. And when she's a little girl, her dad takes her out. He's a photographer, so he takes her and shows how to use art that way. She certainly meets other painters. But what's really important when she is young is at 18 years old, she's in this terrible accident when the trolley, kind of like a bus, she's smashed into by the bus that she was on. Someone on the bus was carrying paint. She was on the bus, not the trolley. And she is basically sent to the hospital. She's in a full leg cast, spinal column broken in three places. The doctors literally put her back together and she survives. And in that moment, she knows her life has changed. She used to want to be a doctor. She says, I don't want to be a doctor anymore. Instead, she says, bring me some paintbrushes and I want to paint. And this is where Frida Kahlo's life changes as she becomes a true painter.
My goodness, the things she could do with the paintings, the imagination from as she was trying to heal.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, she couldn't sit up in bed. So they asked a carpenter to make this really special easel for her. And she grabs her dad's brushes and she looks at these books on art history. And what they do is they put a mirror up above her. Because she can't sit up, so she can only look up. And that's basically her favorite subject is this mirror. And she starts painting herself. And she even says the first paintings aren't that great. But then she brings her paintings to Diego Rivera, this famous painter that she'd met. And he says, you know, a couple of these are okay. And you have talent. And that's all she needs. She basically starts painting. And what I love is she starts adding pieces of local Mexican art to the textiles, intricate carvings onto the actual canvas. And what I love is she just is unapologetically herself. People make fun of her because of how she dresses. She has the unibrow. They make fun of where she's from. But she is unapologetically herself. And she says, I'm the greatest painter in the world. And she can't be stopped. And I want my daughter to know to have that self-confidence. I want my daughter to know that when you are yourself, that you're determined to see things differently, that's a beautiful thing. And that is a good thing. I want her to know that not acting like everyone else is not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That your picture is uniquely yours.
We are talking with best-selling author Brad Meltzer. He's telling us about his latest, I Am Frida Kahlo. I feel like, just anecdotally, I held this book up to a few people in my workplace and I was shocked they didn't know who she was. I feel like even now more people need to know about this great artist, this great person.
And that's why we write the books. Yeah. I mean, and I will say this is, I've heard that a lot from a lot of people, that people, you know, listen, when we do I Am Abraham Lincoln and I Am Rosa Parks and I Am Amelia Earhart, everyone knows who that is. But you know what? We started getting letters from kids who, you know, had Hispanic backgrounds. Like, can you do Frida Kahlo? We want Frida Kahlo. We forget that it's so important to have a hero who kind of can look like you. And I didn't even care. My kids don't look anything like her, but I want those lessons. And when I started researching her, I was blown away. And what I was blown away by is that even in the face of this great disaster, this tragedy that nearly takes her life, it never takes her spirit. And it's not easy for her to fight back, but she does it. One of the things I love that we do in I Am Frida Kahlo is a book. You know, these are kids' biography books, little, you know, with cartoon pictures for kids. But it says in the end, art is like life, that it's rarely what it first appears. Instead of following a straight path, your life and art are going to twist and turn, and it will take you on unexpected journeys. So one of the things I love is, on the last page of the book, we put an actual plastic mirror, just like the mirror she used to look in when she would paint. We put a plastic mirror in the back of the book. And she holds up the mirror and says, look in this mirror, what do you see? I see a work of art. And then she says, I am Frida Kahlo. I know the most beautiful thing is you, just as you are. My God, I need my daughter to hear that lesson. I need my sons to hear that lesson, that you are beautiful exactly as you are. And I don't care if you've heard of Frida Kahlo, you never heard of her. That is a vital lesson for all of us in this world today.
I know we've talked about your illustrator before, but there's something really magical as you read a book to a kid when there's a lot of things going on in it. You're reading the text of the book, but you're also kind of starting conversations about all the things that are there. Can you talk specifically about how you think Christopher really got the feel of Frida Kahlo in this one?
Yeah. You know, it's really, you know, Chris Heliopoulos is our secret weapon. He's the artist on the book. And I want my kids off their phones. I want them off their screens. But I've realized the only way to make that happen is you got to give them something better to look at. And Chris's art style is like a mix between Charlie Brown meets Calvin and Hobbes. And that's why kids love the Ordinary People Change the World book series. That's why they, you know, someone just wrote on Twitter yesterday, my son has 17 of the 22 books, like, he wants to collect them all. Like, kids like them because of Chris's art. I wish it was my writing, but it's really hard when an artist has to draw another artist's work. And so we decided when it was coming to doing her art, he always draws the character really beautifully. And he did, it's probably one of my favorite covers we've ever done for the series. I mean, I love the one he did for I Am Walt Disney. I love the one he did for I Am Jim Henson. I love what he did for I Am Jane Goodall. But even my daughter yesterday said this Frida Kahlo cover is one of the best ones that he's done because, you know, just cute animals on the cover and amazing things. But what I think Chris, eventually we gave him a little reprieve is we didn't ask him to draw Frida Kahlo's actual art. We actually got permission to use the real art. So as your kid is learning about Frida Kahlo and seeing how she learned to paint and seeing how she learned to study and seeing the mistakes she made, we don't ask Chris to draw the art. We show the actual art that's in the book. So that is definitely makes his life a little bit easier. When I told him we were doing her, he was like, I'm going to kill you. He's like, this is going to be impossible. I can't do this. In fact, when we did I Am Leonardo da Vinci, I said, you want me to really mess you up? Now you got to do the Mona Lisa. And he's like, are you kidding? I can't do that. And so that's why in the I Am Leonardo da Vinci, we did put the real Mona Lisa in there.
So as you are digging to find the story, sort of the backstory of Frida Kahlo, is there anything that surprised you? And where did you find these kind of nuggets about her drawing on the window and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's really important about it is there are, especially about heroes like this, sometimes there are autobiographies. In this case, there were some beautiful biographies, and we found a couple there. There's a woman named Hayden Herrera who wrote a beautiful biography that was really helpful. What I found that was most interesting to me, and every book starts with this, is seeing them when they're kids. I can tell you, oh, she's a famous painter, and I can tell you, oh, here's the award she won, and here's how she was honored by her country and in the United States and all over the world. But my kids don't care about that. They have no relation to that. But when I tell her that she's 6 years old, she gets a disease called polio, and her leg gets so thin that her right leg becomes shorter than her left leg. And the kids in her school start making fun of her, saying, calling her peg leg because of the way she walks. She starts wearing long skirts and extra socks to balance herself out. That when she's a little girl in school, that kid's point, you know, she says she always dressed like a fiesta. And I love that line. And that she used to behave, you know, kids in her school were supposed to behave a certain way and dress a certain way. And she dressed differently. And all the wealthy mothers would take one look at her and call her an ugly girl. My kids will not take their eyes off that page because every one of us knows what it's like to have someone make fun of us or look down at us. We all know what it's like to feel judged. And suddenly Frida Kahlo is not just some famous painter, but she's just like all of us. She's, you know, bold and she's daring, but she's also been hurt and she's been made fun of. And now she's a human being. Because I think what we do is we do our heroes a huge disservice in this world. Today, what we do with our heroes is we build these great monuments to them and then we worship at their feet and we do them a huge disservice because they become these kind of lowercase g gods and they don't become human beings anymore. And anyone you look up to in this world, whether it's Rosa Parks or Dr. King or Amelia Earhart or Albert Einstein or Frida Kahlo or Abraham Lincoln, they all have moments where they were scared and they were terrified, where they felt smaller than they wanted to feel, where they felt ashamed and they don't think they can go on, but they find the strength to go forward. And that is the lesson you give your kids when you teach their stories. When you read these stories of Anne Frank and Walt Disney, you give your kids, it's like planting a seed, and you give them a resilience that they didn't otherwise have. And I think that's what the real goal of the books are. It's why I love that people use our books now to build libraries of real heroes for their kids and their grandkids, their nieces and their nephews.
Let's talk about your other book that is out for kids. It's called A New Day. And it seems to me also really needed right now when days are very confusing in this last year that we've all been living. Tell us about this story of the days of the week.
Yeah, so, you know, Heidi, I know you a long time. This is the first book I ever dreamed. And all writers, we all, you know, think so much of ourselves. We put, you know, notepads by our beds, hoping that we'll wake up in the middle of the night and have a lightning bolt of genius strike us. And I've done that. You know, I used to have a pad by my bed and I'd wake up and write something down. And then I'd read the next morning. It would be like 12:19 clouds pink. And I'd be like, what? What is that? I mean, you know, it's just gibberish. But 2 years ago, I woke up with a fully formed idea for a book in my head. And it was, here was the idea. I woke up with this, that Sunday quits just like that. And Sunday's tired and exhausted and can't do it anymore. And all the other days of the week realize they need to hold tryouts for a new day. And that was what the book is called, A New Day. And the tryouts start quick. They start with fun day. We're going to have every day be fun. Like, no, we don't like that. And they're like, how about run day where everyone runs fastest? Can be. No, we don't like that. And they say, how about bun day where everyone wears Princess Leia's buns if they're in their hair? No. They're like, everyone confused with the other kind of buns. No, we don't want that. And the days get crazier and crazier. You know, there's snowmen eating marshmallows day in a winter storm. So it's a whole white page. And it's just, you know, superhero day and dog day and catter day and all these days. And then finally at the end, a little girl walks up to Sunday with a potted plant and Sunday says, what's your day? A potted plant day, grow a tree day, you know, plant some, you know, rutabaga day. And she says, no, I just wanted to say thank you, Sunday. And Sunday stops and turns and says, what? And she goes, I want to say thank you for all the calm you brought me. And Sunday lights up at that moment and realizes just by feeling how good she feels from that girl's thank you, that when you put a little kindness into the world, every day can be a new day. And that's what A New Day is really about. It's a kid's book. It's my first ever fictional children's book with the great artist Anne Santat. And it has been just a joy to work on because I think right now we all need a new day.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems to make sense that Sunday would be tired and want to quit. Sundays are these sort of, they're these special days. They're a little bit different. They can be kind of melancholy, but not always in a bad way. And it's like you fall for this premise right from the get-go that Sunday's tired.
Right. Well, you know why? Because we're all tired. We're all anxious. We're all anxiety. I mean, I can never, of course, predict this pandemic when I started writing this book 2 years ago. But look where we are right now. You know, we're in an age of anxiety. We're anxious. Our kids are anxious. Everything's make, you know, our leaders make us anxious. Whatever your politics are, we're all like exhausted. And I think it takes a toll on our children and our nieces and our nephews and our grandkids, and we need to do better by them. And I think, you know, giving your kids a reminder that every day can be a new day, giving kids a reminder that you should say thank you and show some kindness to other people, that's how you arm your kids with the best lessons. And I think, you know, it was important to me as a parent, like that's what I want for my own kids. And I think we all really need that these days.
Before we go, Brad, I'm wondering for you, were you imaginative as a kid? Were you a little Frida Kahlo drawing on a window?
I don't know if I was a Frida Kahlo, but I have my own version. I used to take, I think I've ever told this story, but I used to take, remember those old racetracks where you kind of like, you squeeze that little controller and then the cars would like race around in the track?
Yeah.
I would take those cars or like Hot Wheels and Matchbox cars. I would take things of Lego. I would put them together with a set of dominoes. And I would have full adventures in my head, full on storied adventures that would go on for, I mean, that's all I needed. I didn't need the other toys. I just needed the, you know, a couple of things and then I could see it all move. And it's fun because I think those are my first stories looking back. I just never, ever thought I was going to use them to write books.
That's Brad Meltzer. His new books are out, A New Day and In the Ordinary People Change the World series. I am Frida Kahlo. For information, go to bradmeltzer.com. Thanks for your time, Brad.
Thanks, Heidi.